9 simple steps to being an amazing man and making any woman want you. Hi, this is Gary Cox. Your highest level of happiness will be built on the success of your relationships. Now, let me say that again. Your highest level of happiness will be built on the success of your relationships. It only makes sense to me to learn how to have better what? Better relationships. And I truly hope you agree. Don't you want more happiness? Sure you do. You know, I'm often baffled that if this is so true, why don't most people take a lot of time to improve their relationships? The byproduct of this pursuit is what? Happiness. Something that we all seek to have more of. Now, I was recently watching one of these one-hour TV magazine shows about a family who had 19 kids. Crazy, huh? You heard me right, 19 kids. It was extremely evident, though, as you watch this show, that this family was really very happy. It just wasn't a facade. It was a real, true happiness. Now, and they didn't have a lot of money, and they got by in what they had. And the mother was interviewed, and during the show, she made what I thought was a very profound point. She said that relationships and family are so important, and the difference between us and other people or other families is that we make relationships a priority and place a high value on it, and that's why we're so happy. What an amazing attitude. But it wasn't just words. See, a lot of people say, oh, I put my family first. They acted on their words, and they proved it by their habits and their behavior. They proved that they meant what they said. It just wasn't words. Now, the fact that you're listening to this program probably means that you too have a value on wanting to improve your relationships, if you have one, or care to have one. And I commend you for taking your valuable time to be here and listen to this. Now, trust me on this. If you are presently in a relationship, once you apply what you hear from this program, you will see immediate changes in both parties' happiness. Immediate. Now, if you're not in a relationship, this will help you attract an amazing woman. If a woman listens to this program, she can benefit too because it's going to give her amazing ideas to help her man. But you got to make sure you present the material correctly because if you do it with the wrong attitude, he will do just opposite. You know, it's like, don't touch the wet paint, they're going to touch it, right? So make sure you do that effectively. This program will help you continue to be an amazing man. Now, just because one has male parts doesn't make him a man. It only makes him male. And I think about recently spending time with my little cousin, and he's about 18 months old, and he's running around on the beach in the water, playing around in the sand. You know, he's totally little butt naked. And every time he would run by me, I would gently pinch his little butt. And you can see there that, you know, being he's totally naked, he is definitely a male. But just because a person has male parts doesn't make them a man. That takes some time. That takes some work. It takes some effort. I truly believe that a man is defined as to how gentle they treat people, especially women and children. Thus the word gentle man. Now, this is not a man-bashing audio program. Okay, yes, maybe it is just a little bit, because I think sometimes we men need a little bashing. You know, men in general are not stepping up to the plate. Women are truly crying out for men to lead them and treat them like queens with lots of love as they deserve. And men are getting lazier at this. They're more interested in work and long hours and making money. Or maybe because of all these long hours, they're often creating so much stress in their life that they take it out on those in their relationships, or they're so wrapped up in hobbies or sports. Think back to being in a relationship. Maybe you're in one now or one in the past. And when it was really good, hope you can think back to that. It was really good. And how did it affect the rest of your life? It makes a huge difference. You can be short on cash and you know, so have some really other major problems in life. But if your relationships are solid and they're meaningful with love and respect, it's amazing how it affects the rest of your life, even with coworkers and neighbors and so on. Now, think back or reflect to a time of being in a relationship when your relationship was really bad. You had a bad season. And how did that reflect on the rest of your life and your happiness? It makes a huge, huge difference. Illustration, Tiger Woods. an amazing, talented golfer. Went through some huge problems in his life. And after that, things have changed for him. Nobody is immune to this. And I think that's why it's so important to focus so much time in creating amazing relationships. Now, let me share with you, if I could, how I became passionate about this subject. I had been through some pretty bad relationships. You may know of some, everything from my wife telling me my baby really isn't mine. I mean, that constitutes for a pretty bad relationship. And I experienced tons of unhappiness. In fact, I was actually born and raised in a religion where the marriage, if you will, was based on, and I was kind of locked into that religion from my early childhood, which means if I chose in later years to disagree with some of their teachings, the choice you had was you better shut up, or if you say anything, you're going to get kicked out. And being kicked out means you will no longer be able to associate with your so-called friends and family. So after I made a decision to just get out of all of this, the religion, the relationships, et cetera, I recognized that I had to make a lot of changes. And then I found myself getting involved in unfulfilling relationships full of lots of drama. And I wanted nothing to do with that. But see, I didn't have any experience. And what I realized is that I was attracting people, well, basically who I was. So my standards were too low, and that's the kind of women I often attracted. Forget the opposites attract junk. Here's the bottom line with most of this. You attract who you are. This equates to however you are treated or have been treated in a relationship, if that's what you've come to expect as your standards, well, how's that working for you? This is why women often get into relationships with the bad boy kind of guys. They love the confidence that they have. You know, they'll just go and do anything. But later on, they get bit in the butt. Why? Because they don't have love or gentleness with it. So they're attracted to that bad boy take charge image, that leadership type of image, but it's not balanced. And because of that, they will allow themselves to be degraded. Verbally, physically, mentally, and so on. Isn't that interesting? This particular example with this type of woman, she has to change her standards, similar to us. So men, you have to learn to change your standards. If you want true happiness in a relationship, and if you want to attract a relationship that's really going to work for you. Again, the opposites attract stuff, that stuff in general does not work. You need somebody that has the same values and beliefs that you do. Yes, she may like golf and you may not. That's a little different. But when it comes to the personalities and the values and the beliefs, those are things that have to match. So with the title, 9 Simple Steps to Being an Amazing Man and Making Any Woman Want You, these are 9 steps to making any woman with higher standards want you, which will place you in an amazing relationship. So if your standards are low and you go out there looking to attract women, you're going to attract a woman with lower standards. People that have lower standards usually don't take a lot of time to develop themselves to improve their relationships, which in turn brings a lot of drama and unhappiness. This program will help you increase your personal standards, which will attract amazing women. This boils down to living a more fulfilled life because you attract more fulfilled relationships. After my divorce, I spent lots of time working on me. What is it that I could do to improve myself to attract better quality women? And more importantly, how to have an amazing relationship? I had lots of changes to make, though I'd rather not admit it. I'll give you an example on what I mean by that. I had a lot of stuff to work on. I had an assistant, and she used to call me a white pompous Jamaican because I'm originally from Jamaica. And she didn't like my attitude because I would, you know, direct people to do certain things, and it was pretty much like, you know, barking out commands. There's no kindness behind it. And my goodness, if you missed a deadline, it was not pretty, or if you dropped the ball. Then I wanted to make some changes. I wanted to be more gentle, and I got a hold of a book, and I'm strongly going to recommend you get this book. you have to purchase the book used because it's no longer in print. And that's one of the reasons I want to bring out some of the information in that book. And the book is titled Man of Steel and Velvet. Man of Steel and Velvet. And that book dramatically made some changes in my life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you some steps from that book. Then I'm going to go ahead and add a lot of details to it to help you apply into your own personal life. And I realized that I had to really raise my standards, and then I wouldn't date anyone that didn't appreciate those standards, even though people would make fun of me. Other women, other people, whatever. Now, and when I broke my rules because I was lonely or for whatever reason, I paid the price. It's time now to go over these 9 steps. Now, the 9 steps, they're actually failures of a man. So what we've got to learn to do as men, we've got to learn to do opposite of these failures. And be rest assured that when you do that, you will see some amazing results. As I go over some of the steps in this book and read some of the information, you'll see a lot of the information applies to as if you were already married or already have children. The application and principles, trust me, will work whether you're in a relationship or not. Especially if you're wanting to get into a relationship, you'll understand what it is that women really, really want. So the first is the man who fails to assume his position as leader. Let's talk about this. Women are attracted to a man who leads. Now, how do we know that? Well, I believe when God created us, man and woman, there's no question that God created man with distinct attitudes and personalities and certain traits. And he did the same for women. They gel. They work together. So what we have to do is then we have to identify what is it that has been ingrained into us that is natural for us to do or want. And then if we also know what's ingrained into a woman, for her to know what she is naturally going to do and naturally wants, and we supply that for her, she becomes happier. You two will become more fulfilled. For example, you take an animal. Animals have certain instinctive behaviors. You know, there's certain birds that, you know, every winter they'll fly thousands and thousands of miles to a specific country, the same spot every year. No one trained them to do that. God put that in them. We have been created with the natural ability and desire to lead. It's an instinctive thing in us, but we always don't like to do that because we become lazy, we become sidetracked. But a woman is attracted to a man who is a strong leader. Now, we're going to define what a strong leader is, so we want to make sure we have a balance in what that definition is, too. So let me go ahead and read about this, assuming the position of a leader. It's instinctive. Same thing with us as a man, same thing with women. So when we identify what these things are, we've got something to work with. He does not lead. He does not determine family policy, make plans, set down rules, or issue commands or decisions. I might use a word a little looser than commands, but okay. The family is like a ship without a rudder, but if we don't do these commands, make decisions, etc., here's what happens. The ship is tossed in a tumultuous sea. If the family is to be led, the wife must do so. Occasionally, children must. The husband sits back without concern. He has defected, and his responsibility goes to another. His attention is on other things. He's irresponsible. Do you see why that would not be attractive to a woman? So the key then is, if a woman is attracted to a man who's a strong leader, why is it then that so many men aren't really leading? And this is something that's really important to a woman. Men are getting too distracted. Stop and think about the distractions. And sometimes we as men want to justify the distractions. Oh, well, you know, you want this lifestyle, or we have to get out of debt, or you want to buy your shoes or whatever. And then we keep justifying why we're not taking on a responsibility as a leader. So we must look inside ourselves and see, am I a good leader? Do I have policies? Or when I'm dating, am I going to have certain things as I get into a relationship that I'm going to require in my family if that is my goal? What are these policies? I mean, we have policies when we have a job, and we have policies and rules, if you will, when you live in a country. So we should also be able to be in tune in setting those up also for our relationship. If you have boundaries, then you know when you're getting out of the boundaries so you can get back in. But if you don't have those boundaries, you just keep going outside of those boundaries even more. And leadership is one of those boundaries. Here's a second one. The second is the man who allows his wife or children to push him around. Interesting here. Let's continue to read. He may wish to lead, but because of weakness or fear, he allows his family to dictate. He's a pushover, a jellyfish. He follows the course of least resistance. Instead of claiming his position, he cowers to the commands of others. There are few men who are actually afraid of their wives, even with fear of bodily harm. The pushover is a miserable failure in his masculine position. He feels he should lead, but doesn't have enough backbone to make a fair attempt. Interesting point. A jellyfish. So then you have some men who go overboard on their leadership, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Then you have other men who are jellyfish. A woman cannot respect a man that she can push over. In other words, one of the things that are attractive to a woman is a man who makes a decision and sticks with it and does not waver constantly. A lot of men have a hard time doing that, and when they do try to do that and put their foot down, they also become very rude at it. Stop and think about the consequences if a man does not learn how to master the ability of not being a pushover. Think about, let's say, having a child. A child comes to you and asks for, I don't know, some ice cream, and you say no for whatever reason. The child comes back 5 minutes later and asks you again. And then you say no. Now you start getting irritated. And then the child asks you again and again, and you eventually give in. The danger here is that we have now programmed, for lack of a better word, we have conditioned that child to know and understand that our no does not mean no. So go ahead and irritate me some more, and I'm eventually going to break down, be a pushover, and say yes. That child will never grow up respecting a parent that they can push over. A woman does not respect a man that's a jellyfish. Even though being somebody who has more of a spine and more firm can cause some conflict in the beginning because they really do want their way, and the man is now going to be firm about sticking to his policy, if you will. Of course, you've got to bend and flex at times too, so that just goes without saying. But if this is something that there's a constant bending and a constant pushover, a woman cannot respect a man that way. And at first, yes, she may not like the fact that he's holding to his conviction, and it may cause some friction. But in time, she comes to respect that here's a man who makes a decision, and he sticks to it. Let's go to number three. You want to write these down. Third is the man who succumbs to pressure of women and children. This man is no jellyfish. He exerts himself to lead, but due to insufficient strength and firmness, he gives in. He gives in to pressure against his own convictions. Pressuring may come in the form of harping, needling, bugging, convincing, moral pressure, weeping, whining. Oh, do I hate a whining woman? Wailing, and other means to get their way. Or they may go so far as to make demands, issuing ultimatums with a threat of consequences. And often, men don't want to put up with that. So instead of not putting up with that, what do? They give in. Parents often do this with children. The child cries and cries and cries and cries, and then they give in. I remember when I was helping my sister raise her daughter. At this time, she was about 3 years old. And one of the things that my sister said is that she doesn't respond to punishment. So my sister would try to, you know, punish her in different ways. And she said she just doesn't respond. And then I noticed there was a pattern there that my sister would say no for whatever reason to her daughter. And the daughter didn't like that. So she would just cry and cry and cry and cry. And my sister couldn't hang in there long enough to put up with the crying to the point of getting the child to eventually stop, so the child will understand that no means no. So after hearing the crying and the crying and the crying, I mean, this little child was bad. I mean, it just cried and cried. She eventually said, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm going to give in. And boom, gave in. What happens the next time now? Mom says no. If that child cried previously for 10 minutes and eventually got its way, it now knows that it can cry for at least 10 more minutes on the next time it gets a no. And mom's probably going to give in. This time she'll probably give in a lot less than 10 minutes. Isn't that interesting? So then what I had to do is, as I moved in, I had to break my niece of this habit. So when it came time to putting her to bed and saying no, I would let her cry. And boy, she would cry for more than 10 minutes. And it took 3 days to knock this, if you will, out of her system. So she understood when a decision was made, I would not succumb to the pressure of the crying. And unfortunately, people like to take the course of least resistance. You know, I'm just sick and tired of the crying. Just give the child a toy or give the child this. But again, that's called being spineless. Let's continue to read on here. Some men succumb to pressure because they're busy or preoccupied with other important matters. They feel they don't have time to wrestle with the problem. It seems easier to give in and keep peace than hold firm to the position of leader. They don't give the responsibility the priority it deserves. Other men grow weary from pressure. They are like the judge in the scriptural parable of the importuning widow who became weary of the widow's request night and day, so gave in to her wishes. The man may believe he should stand firm, but due to constant harping, he relinquishes rights and prerogatives which should be sacred to him. He continues, I was once in the company of a man who had two teenage daughters who were guilty of this practice of harping. The father had bought a horse for the girls, which was to be delivered to their ranch several days hence. But the girls urged the father to borrow the farmer's truck and take the horse immediately. They pleaded and begged, as they had done in the past, for other things. The man, embarrassed and torn in his feelings, turned to me for advice. Tell them no in no uncertain terms, I said, and stick to it. Supported by my courage, he faced the girls with a firm no. They were in tears and coaxed continually until we were in the car and well on the way home. They sat in total silence for a while, then began mumbling to themselves and looking harshly at their father. Such a denial was new to him and a severe adjustment. They were used to having their way. They had thought before, it pays to plead. But for the first time, they felt the weight of their father's words. If he kept up this firm sort of leadership, his girls would soon learn that pressure is of no avail and they would be smart enough to stop. Very interesting. So does this apply to you? Are you the type of person, because a woman is just so beautiful to you or so whatever, that you just cave in? A woman cannot respect a man who can't be firm. Very true. So what about you? How do you rate on that on a scale of 1 to 10? Yes, women have a power over men. Sometimes it's not easy. Let's go to number 4. The fourth failure of a man is to compromise. In this case, the man does not give in completely. He stands his ground on a degree, but makes concessions or appeases in one way or another. This weakness is a mark of a poor leader and one which will lead to future trouble. Appeasement weakens one's position. So many decisions in the home have a moral tone or inference that one must be exceedingly careful not to do anything that would allow rationalizing from a strong position to a weak one. Standards must be maintained. Men must be aware that although it's wise to listen to family members, to consider their ideas, to accept good suggestions, it's never good leadership to give in against one's better judgment. A mark of a great leader, on the other hand, is to stand firm to one's convictions regardless of the feelings of others. This is not only a leader's right, it is his obligation. That is some strong stuff. Now, interesting, as you're reading some of this, it may seem like, wow, you don't bend and give. That has nothing to do with it. What it's saying here is a woman is attracted to a man who makes a decision, and if he is convicted in that decision and knows in his heart of hearts he's making the right decision for his family, that he is going to stick to it. It's just like a leader of a country. If it is his conviction that his decision is going to be in the best interest of his country, not being selfish for himself or to be elected again, but truly in the best interest of his country, a good leader is a man who is not going to allow anybody to get him to compromise. He's going to stick with the decision. Don't you respect somebody who can do that? Women fall in love and love a man who can do this. Again, where are you at on this? Are you able to do that? Or are you always compromising? Let's go to the fifth thing. The fifth is the man who allows his wife to steal his leadership. This is interesting. Now, remember, you may not be married now. Same principles apply as you're courting, dating, whatever you want to call it. In this case, the wife doesn't pressure her husband. She usurps his authority. She's a dominating woman and therefore tries to take over. Her husband may wish to lead, but she overpowers him. She makes the decisions, determines family policy, makes plans without his sanction. The children turn to her for consent. If she is more subtle, she offers endless suggestions, gives advice and counsel for him to follow, always telling him what to do and when to do it. In any case, she is out of place. The man who allows his wife to hold the reins is also to blame and has failed in his leadership. He must, if he is a man, overpower her and regain his position as head of the household. Now, I know some people may have a problem with this, but the one before this, remember, number four, somebody who doesn't compromise in their convictions, this is my conviction. And here's the key. People have criticized me. Well, does that mean that you take all control? No, it has nothing to do with that. Somebody has to make the final say so. See, as a pilot, if I'm captain, and say I am, I'm a captain, I have the rating, what we call a type rating, for a Learjet. So I have a captain's rating for the Learjet series. So the captain sits in the left seat, and then the co-pilot sits in the right seat. It is understood in this particular relationship, for this relationship to work effectively, that the captain makes the final decisions. But it would be wise on his part to listen to the co-pilot. Because sometimes the co-pilot may have a viewpoint that the captain is not seeing. How arrogant would it be of him to not have the insight to listen to the co-pilot? So this is not saying that this is the way it is and that's the way it is and there's no way of changing. What it's actually saying is I'm going to make the final decision because I am the leader, just like a president of a country. He makes the final decision. A lot of people are not going to agree with it. So you make the final decision, but often before making the final decision, let's get some input. Okay, co-pilot, first officer, wife, children, what is your input? And then you put that input in your head. You start thinking about, okay, that's a good idea. Let me see if I'm going to go with that. Okay, here we go. Here's my final decision. And we stick with it. So this has got nothing to do with a man dominating the woman. Now, that is a man's natural desire, unfortunately, because that's ingrained to us to just be so dominant. And this is where men mess up. And we're going to talk about that next. So don't get so judgmental here if you're not agreeing with some of this, especially if a woman listens to us. But as she starts understanding that this means we must take in the consideration of that amazing woman and listen to her. And then we've got to understand that we as the man will make the final decision. We're the captain in this particular flight. And when we make the final decision, we're looking for that person to hopefully come along with it. But we're going to stick to the decision. Let's go to number six. Six is the man who fails to make his leadership stick or to command obedience from his family members. Again, don't get overboard on some of these words, command. Now, in this case, the man may give instructions to his wife or children, but she doesn't listen or obey. He uses the word obey. I know some people have a problem with that. She feels her opinion prevails. She does not have to follow his word and can do so as she pleases. The children also follow the pattern of disobedience, for they have learned it from their mother. For children to learn disobedience at home, especially from their mothers, is most serious and often has far-reaching consequences. The man who allows this conduct becomes an accessory to the fact and bears a responsibility that he is going to regret. In some cases, the wife or child would not argue against obeying, but would justify disobedience because to obey is difficult in the face of a selfish desire. Women would minimize the consequence of their disobedience by trying to rationalize her way out of it. A husband who can teach obedience without rancor and with patience is a remarkable man indeed. You see the balance here? Yes, we want to be firm. We want to understand that we want somebody to listen to us. Now, when we talk about doing this in dating, you're not going to be throwing out a lot of these ideas when you're dating, but if you understand that you buy into the things that I'm sharing with you, and if you find a woman that buys into it as well, in other words, she's going to allow you to be captain, and you're going to allow her to give you input, and you're going to listen to that input and be humble enough. If you feel that her input makes more sense than yours, then you're going to go ahead and go with that decision. So we've got to find the balance in all this. But the whole idea is if you have standards like this and you can listen to this information and it makes all the sense in the world for you, trust me, it makes a lot of sense to women. Now, some women may not, but again, the bottom line is happiness. When you're in a cockpit of life and in a relationship and you have one person that makes the final say, you can't have two people have the final say. That's virtually impossible unless they all thought the same way. That's why companies have board members and the highest majority, if you will. If you have seven people, four out of three make the decision. That's it. Then you have a final person who makes that final decision in some organizations. Maybe it's the CEO or the chairman, and that person makes the final decision. He gets input from the managers, the president, and so forth. So what are you looking for in a relationship? Are you looking for a woman who doesn't care about you being a great leader? If that's what you're looking for, that's what you're going to get. But if you care to be a great leader and attract a woman who respects that, you first must become that great leader. And then you'll start attracting women like that. Now, here's the side effect of this, is as you work on becoming a great leader, what happens is some women are going to be offended by that. Some people by listening to this might be just totally offended by this. And then what you have to do is you have to stand firm to your convictions. So are you really convicted to being a leader and a leader like this who can be firm in their decisions? And if you can handle that and if you can do that and follow through on this, you've just raised your standards to be attractive now to a woman who appreciates that, a woman who wants order, a woman who wants to have the love from her husband or her man, who is willing to listen to her ideas and understand and appreciate that her thoughts and her mind is just as powerful as his. Good stuff, isn't it? Let's go to number seven. The seventh failure of men in leadership is lack of velvet. And was I ever guilty of this? This is the opposite problem. A man, as I'm continuing to read here, may lead with strength and firmness of steel, but lack consideration for those he leads. Simple requests are brushed aside. Heartfelt desires are denied. When a family member pleads for consideration, the man is without compassion, filled with selfishness. He's not willing to be inconvenienced or make the sacrifices for the benefit of others. When a family member has been disobedient, he's severe in judgment, harsh in punishment. Such men rule as tyrants and fail in one of the most important qualities of great leadership. A man must rule with kindness, consideration, justice, mercy, love, and unselfishness. The prime quality that gives velvet to leadership is unselfishness. A man must have both the firmness of steel and the softness of velvet to rule properly. That specific step changed my life. Because I always looked at myself as a firm leader, but I recognized I didn't have the compassion, the consideration, really taking other people's ideas to heart, especially those that I quote-unquote claim to love. So what it did for me is it enabled me to see that I needed to make some changes. Yes, a woman loves a strong leader, but they love a strong leader who has the ability to show consideration for her desires and is not selfish. And this is not an easy one to master, especially for men, because we got this thing called testosterone and we just want it this way. So this has changed my life, so much so that it has given me a great appreciation for a woman, treating her like velvet. I remember years ago when I was dating, true story, I've always never wanted to be a fake. I try to, you know, project to people that I am who I am. So I would get ready to go on a date, and on the date I would just say these exact words. I say, look, here's the deal. I'm not a fake. I am who I am. So what that means is I'm not going to hold a door open for you, and I'll tell you why. Now, don't be critical of me yet. Hold on. The reason is I know if I were to marry you 20 years from now, I'm not going to hold the door open for you. Now, that sounds terrible, but how many people do you know that have been married for 10, 5, even 3 or 4 years that the man is still holding the door for the woman? Most men don't, period, end of story. Yeah, you might find one or two, but period, end of story, most men do not. Oh, they do it in the date because it's impressive. It looks really nice. And then as I read this, I started realizing that men really don't have, I believe, to a large degree overall, have a true appreciation in the quality and the femininity of a woman. So I changed that. So now what it would be is, you know what? I normally wouldn't hold your door because I knew in 10 years that I wouldn't do that. But now I'm going to hold your door, and I expect to hold your door open for you 10 years from now. I now truly believe that it should be the exception, and a woman should really never know what the handle of a door feels like. And what it does too, I think what this does, it helps you understand that you need to honor a woman. I think a woman should be honored. And when you open the door for a woman, it honors her. Not when you're just dating 5 years from now. And if you have this honor for women, what it's going to do for you is it's going to enable you to honor women in other areas. For example, you know, whether somebody is very old or tall or skinny or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. If it's a woman and she needs assistance maybe putting her luggage in the airplane or putting something in the grocery bag and she can't do it very well because maybe she's older or maybe she's not, she's just having trouble, I try to be the first one to be there. It's just my way of honoring a woman. And you take that over and lap that over into your relationships, that's amazing. So it's easy to try to impress a woman on your first or second date by holding the door open for her. But why are you doing that? Truly, seriously, are you doing it just to impress her? If you're being honest with yourself, you're probably going to have to say yes. Because if you haven't planned to open her door for her for the next 10 years, you're doing it to impress her. Because women like that. You don't think they like it 10 years from now? They respect it and love it even more if you do it 5 or 10 years from now. A lot easier said than done. And what happens is the hardest part for me is to open the door for the woman when you're going through some type of disagreement. It's amazing how heavy that door begins to get. It gets heavier and heavier and heavier. But it still forces me to make sure I understand that this is a woman that must be honored. Master that velvet touch. I believe that this is one of the greatest failures in a man. A woman wants that velvet touch. Yes, she wants that strong leader, but that strong leader needs to be firm, but also be very considerate, soft, and gentle. So it's none of the, it's my way, this is the way it is, I've made the decision, and that's it. It's, honey, I've taken your feelings into consideration. And in taking your feelings into consideration, I've decided that this is going to be the final decision for our family. I'm going to ask that you please respect that. Well, I'm just not going to. I don't want to. We're not going to come back again. No, this is the way it is. It's supposed to be. I've got to take the lead here. No. Well, honey, I understand that, but I have taken your feelings into consideration, and so on and so on. The tone, so much love, and how you say those words and the words you choose. This is not an easy thing to master. This is extremely, extremely difficult. But of all the things that I'm going to share with you, if you master this one, not just on the first date, but in women in general, it is amazing how women will be attracted to you. But it's got to be something that you've got to really master in sincerity. It's got to go in the heart. So I find when I'm on that first date, at first, before I got into all this thinking, if you will, and changed my thinking on this, I just did it for a show. I'm going to admit it. That's what most men do it for. Women like that. So what do? It's customary to open the door for her. Will you do it 5 years from now? So think about yourself. What can you do in your day-to-day routine? Let's say you're not even dating somebody. What can you do in your regular day-to-day routine to show that you honor women? Look for specific things, women that you work with, women that you don't even know, that you happen to meet on the street or at the grocery store. Look for ways to be this velvet person. In fact, this book has changed me as a leader within my company because I no longer bark out these commands and this is the way it is and that's the way it is. What I do now is if I want another viewpoint, because often you become the picture in the frame and you're so stuck into your own thinking that you can't see anything different. So I like to get the opinion of other people that work for me. So I'll ask them, what do you think about this, this, or that? And then they'll give me their opinion. And then I'll let them know, I'm not sure if I'm going to make my decision based on exactly what you told me, if I'm going to just do that. But I do want you to know, I want to take that idea into consideration. And I try to be humble enough to realize if that decision makes more sense than mine, it's smarter, gets more results, etc., I will openly try to admit that and say, you know what, that's a great idea. I'm going to can mine aside. Let's go with yours. Learn to have that velvet. It's harder to have that velvet touch when there's a problem and you're practicing divorce or practicing problems in the relationship. You know, she's starting to say this and now you're getting all frustrated and now you start getting a little bit louder and a little bit more firm and harsher. And this is where applying that velvet touch is an art. It's easy to apply the velvet touch and open the door for this amazing woman when things are going great on the first date. But after the seventh or eighth month, or after a year, when things aren't going so great over the next weekend or so, now see how hard it is to slowly close that door and open it for her. It becomes a lot more challenging. Okay, I was going to say enough of that one, but maybe it's not enough of that one, huh? Let's go to number eight. The eighth failure of a man is due to weak ego. This problem is so subtle that men may not understand the fault they have. A man will say no when he would prefer to say yes. He does this just to show his authority. He will resist a well-thought-out idea or suggestion because he doesn't want his family to forget that he's the leader. He has a weak ego and has a need to prove himself as a man. He doesn't realize that he doesn't have to say no to just show his authority. There are numerous legitimate situations when he should say no. As he learns to be firm, decisive, and have the courage of his convictions, he will deserve and have the respect he seeks. A man with a wholesome ego will respond as follows. If a family member makes a suggestion which is reasonable, he will say, "That sounds like a good idea. Let's try it." He doesn't need his position as a leader as a proving ground for his self-worth. That's good stuff. So that was number eight. The eighth failure of man is due to a weak ego. Let's go to our final point. Nine. The ninth failure is due to an oversized ego. In this case, a man feels superior to those he leads. This is not a superiority of position, but a superiority of total worth. He may feel more intelligent, more gifted, capable, or otherwise qualified than his family members. Therefore, he resists their advice, ideas, and suggestions. He lacks the humility to listen, doesn't seek their counsel, and therefore separates himself from his family. Strange as it may seem, and probably confusing to him, his superior image doesn't command the respect of his family. Instead, it arouses contempt. Only a man who is humble and recognizes his fallibility can become an effective leader. I've worked within some organizations that the leader of the organization, he is not humble enough, or she, to take the direction of other people. And it's evident because everybody beneath that person, they're all yes men. And they won't throw in an idea, or when they don't think the idea of the leadership is correct, they have a hard time saying something because the leader doesn't have the humility to listen to the ideas of others. This is very dangerous, as we just read about. Same thing in a relationship. If you don't have the humility to listen to what she has to say, why would she want to be in a relationship with you if no one's going to listen to her? And I think, too, the danger of this is a lot of men will go overboard in this. They just, this is the way it is. Here's my ego. I've put it out. Nothing's going to change. And I think along with understanding this, men have to allow themselves to be more vulnerable. And this is what this is talking about here. Men don't like to be vulnerable. One way they show they definitely don't like to be vulnerable is with their emotions. Because of so much ego, they can't show any emotion. The ego gets in the way. I'll give an example. I was at an airport in Georgia. I landed my plane, got out of the plane, met with my family. Then I'm getting ready to leave. And there's a cousin in my family, big guy, you know, 200 and, I don't know, 75 pounds. So we get ready to leave, and I get ready to give him a big bear hug, and I give him a hug, and he just kind of pushes me off. And I go, you know, what's up? He goes, well, I don't want people to see you're hugging me. I mean, they're going to think I'm gay or something. You got to be kidding me. This is a typical example of that. Men, allow yourself to be vulnerable. And I personally, you know, I don't mind crying in front of a woman. If a woman sees that you're vulnerable and then you're real, you don't want to be a crybaby and cry about everything. That's not the point. But if a woman sees you have emotions other than, you know, the arrogant guy type of thing, that's attractive to a woman. She sees that you can be touched, that your heart is soft. Yes, you can be a firm leader, but you can also be very soft. So are there certain areas in your life that you can allow yourself to be more vulnerable to a woman? I don't know what it is about men that they think if a woman sees a tear come from their eye, that makes them weak. That makes you human. That makes you vulnerable. That makes you real and authentic. That is attractive to not only women, but that's just attractive to men, to people in general. So do you allow yourself to show some emotion? I recently did a TV show. It was a dating thing some time ago. And I decided on this show that what I would do is I would take a woman out on a date and I would do something totally opposite of what most men would ever think of doing. And the reason I did this because I didn't care about what other men thought. I cared about what the woman thought. To heck with what the men thought. So what I actually did is I took her to a spa, and then I had the technicians at the spa teach me how to give a French pedicure and a manicure. Now, for a lot of men, there's just no way they would ever in a million years think about doing that. But the reason I thought it was, I think, cool is because it was all about her. Now, some people would ask me, Gary, what would your typical first date be like? What would you like to do? Well, my answer to that was, it doesn't matter what I want. It's what they want. So the date's going to be about her. What does she want? And what woman wouldn't want to be pampered and have her feet massaged and, you know, have her toenails done? Maybe not by a man, but if the man knows what he's doing and can do a good job, she'd be okay with it, especially her man. Are you vulnerable enough to do things like that? Or is there just too much ego involved? You want to attract a woman? You want to be vulnerable then. Do things that they like. Do things that would make them happy and feel good. And this is where you have to step out of the ego. Isn't that interesting? Don't be thinking like a man. Think like a woman. Shave off some of that ego. Be a lot more authentic and show some emotion. Okay, we're at the point now to start a detailed review. If you already haven't written these 9 things down, now is the time to really stop and do this. To be effective, to master the 9 steps in this program, you've got to consciously be aware of them. Again, trust me on this one. There's so many things going on in life, in your day-to-day routine, bills, stress, whatever, that it's so easy to forget and neglect these 9 steps. I go over this on a regular basis. I make it a point to go over this several times a year. I'm going to strongly suggest that you listen to this at least once a month. If you listen to this once a month, you're going to be able to see your progress. You're going to be able to see where you're getting off, of course, because there's so much involved in being an amazing man and being able to attract amazing women or keep the woman you have and make her feel happy, which in turn makes you feel happy as well, which creates an amazing relationship. So this takes some effort. So let's review the first one. Now, remember, the 9 things we'll start over are things that are failures, and we have to do the opposite of them. First one, number one, first is the man who fails to assume the position as leader. How are you as a leader? Do you assume the position of a leader? As we've been discussing this, hopefully you've come up with some ideas of what it means to be a good leader. I think it's important that you also have a distinct definition of what it truly means to be a leader. Hopefully you will include in that definition the importance of having the velvet side, which of course are one of the steps. Do you assume the position of a leader? You know, it's interesting about women. I think for women, this is probably one of their most attractive traits in a man. Women want a man who takes charge and leads. Let's go to number 2. Second is the man who allows his wife and children to push him around. Whether you have a wife or a child is irrelevant at this. Are you a person that can be easily pushed around? Now, as you're doing this evaluation, you can evaluate yourself maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, however you want to put the numbers, 1 the highest, 10 the highest, whatever. And then evaluate yourself. But I think sometimes when we do self-evaluations, the challenge in doing self-evaluations is we are too often the picture in the frame. What I strongly recommend you do is if you think you're a good leader, then ask somebody who knows you. First of all, ask them what they define a good leader as. Then ask them, to be honest with you, what is a good leader? And then, am I a good leader? You got to be careful who you ask this question. You're not looking for the yes man answer. You're looking for somebody who knows you enough, cares about you enough to tell you the truth and say, hey, you know, you are or you're not. And if you're not, here's why not. Get somebody else's opinion. You'd be surprised at the results. Well, maybe you won't. Who knows? But hopefully they'll be online or on the same page as you. But be open for some, you know, corrective criticism. So are you a type of person can be easily pushed around? What makes a man that can easily be pushed around? I think a lot of it is just mental laziness, or they're trying to go overboard to please someone. I remember having an employee years ago, and there's something, I don't recall the entire situation, but there was something that she wanted, and I was firm, and I told her it wasn't going to happen, no. She may have asked one or two more times, and I just stuck to it. She wasn't going to be able to push me around, if you will, for lack of a better word. It was about a month later, she sat me down, had a conversation with me, and said, Gary, you know, I have so much respect for you now, because you remember a month ago when this particular situation came up, and because that you made the decision, you stuck to the decision, I end up having just so much more respect for you. When a woman knows that she can't just push you around, she has more respect for you. I think where the battle is that we have as men is maybe we want to please them so much, if we say no, we're going to get the wrath of the woman. And temporarily, we might. But if you hang in there long enough, she's going to see that this man really is a leader. And he's not somebody that I can just push around. This is a man I can truly respect. Women love a man they can truly have respect for. Remember number 3, third is the man who succumbs to pressure of women and children. Do you easily cave in to pressure? You make a decision, and now there's some harping or whining or maybe the little pucker at the lips, please, sweetie pie. or whatever it is, where you succumb to pressure when you know it's not in the best interest of you and your family. And again, as I repeat, we're talking as if you have a family in some of this situation, but you see the principle applies. Whether you have a family or not, let's say you don't, are you still a person that when you're dating women or you've been in a relationship, you easily succumb to their pressure? And again, she can't respect you if you do. That's going to bring us to number four. The fourth failure of men is to compromise. Compromise. You make a decision. Write this one down. Compromise. The fourth failure of men is to compromise. So we make a decision. We decide that we're going to stick firm to it. And then the bargaining comes. Well, you know, if we do this, how about we make this? And you do that, and then we can do this a little bit. And you just start to compromise. The challenge with the compromising is that what it does, it waters down your conviction to lead. Compromising waters down your conviction as a leader. Watch out for that. Be honest with yourself. I'll admit this is probably an area that I have to work on because I do like to make peace and I want both parties to have a win-win situation. It's not to say if you don't compromise that it's not a win-win situation. The point here is that you've made a final decision and you need to stick to that conviction or that decision. Number five, fifth is the man who allows his wife to steal his headship. What's the opposite of that? I don't allow anybody to steal my headship. So how about you? Do you allow people to steal your headship? If you are in a relationship or have a tendency in a relationship to allow the other person to steal your leadership. We spent a good amount of time on that one. Very great observation. Number six. Six is the man who fails to make his leadership stick or to command obedience from his family members. We use this term command loosely, but this is still a good point. Six is the man who fails to make his leadership stick or command the obedience of his family members. So when we set out to have a policy within our relationship, do we stick with it? Remember one of the points, a man who allows this conduct, the one of allowing, you know, chaos, disobedience in his home, etc., becomes an accessory to the fact and bears a responsibility that he is going to regret. You ever had a conviction on something and you're just so solid about it, you have a plan as a leader, you've decided that you're going to make it stick, and then you bend the rules and then you pay a price for it. Yep, not fun. Number seven, the seventh failure of men in leadership is lack of velvet. So what would be the opposite of that? I lead with velvet. This, I believe, is perhaps the most attractive thing next to leadership that a woman just absolutely falls for. A man who is firm, a leader, yet soft, gentle, and compassionate. This, I believe, is challenging for anybody because there's so many things happening to us in our life, especially when we get aggravated. You know, maybe she said something to you that just really starts aggravating you, and then you start saying something else, and then she starts saying something else, and before you know it, even though you're not married, you're kind of practicing divorce. And when I've dated people, when these situations start happening, you know, that she starts saying something, then I have to come back, and then she comes back, I'll just say, hey, we're practicing divorce. I'll even do this to some of my staff. You know, we'll start going back and forth on something. I'll say, stop. We're practicing divorce. This will always be a challenge, I believe, number seven, for all men. Mastering the ability to lead with a velvet touch is one of the most challenging things I think you'll ever do as a man. If you want to be a great leader, and if you want a woman to be incredibly attracted to you, because you're always going to be tested, and how do you show that velvet glove touch? It's usually always by the attitude in how you say things and the body language. You can't roll your eyes or, there you go again, I've asked you to stop irritating me. That's not velvet. This is a tool that when you can master this tool, trust me, you will see results in the response of the person that you're dating or in love with or married to that will give you both incredible, incredible rewards. Master number seven. Remember, number seven works very, very tightly with number one. Number one and number seven go hand in hand. Number one, remember, is first is the man who fails to assume his position as leader. So the opposite of one is, I assume the position of a leader. To be a great leader, you got to have number seven. You got to have the velvet in there. Being a leader, but without the velvet, enables you to lead, but you probably are not going to lead for very long. Eight, the eighth failure of man is due to a weak ego. Ooh, a weak ego is like a jellyfish. No jellyfish allowed. No jellyfish allowed. A good point I recall in the information I read to you from The Man of Steel and Velvet is he doesn't realize that he doesn't have to say no to show his authority. Good point. There are numerous legitimate situations when he should say no. As he learns to be firm, decisive, and have the courage of his convictions, he will deserve and have the respect he seeks. So we don't want to have a weak ego. Number nine gives us the balance. The ninth failure is due to an oversized ego. Oversized ego. And I think this is where humility comes in. Humility is a very important trait and characteristic of a leader. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, which means now you have an opening to get other people's viewpoints, and you now take their thoughts into consideration because you're not thinking so much of your ideas or your way. So humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this program. I've certainly enjoyed putting it together. These are nine steps that will truly, truly change your life if you apply them. I would love to hear the kind of responses that you're getting from this information. Send me an email sometime. I would really be intrigued to see how you're applying this information and what happened to be the great results that you're going to get from this. Remember, this is something that you must do regularly. You know, there's certain things in life I think that we need to kind of constantly keep pounding in our minds, if you will. And relationships and relationship tools are definitely one of them. You know, you've got everything from health, finances, relationships. These are all things that you need to encompass on a regular basis, your spirituality. And if you're so distracted in life that you don't take time to do all this, you're going to pay a heavy price. So that's why you've got to have a simple life to a degree, to the point that you can invest the time to do this. The time to invest in this type of knowledge and mastering these skills and tools is not when your marriages and your life and your friendships and your relationships are falling apart. Granted, you may have gotten this and you may be listening to this for that reason, and this will also help you mend and put it back together. But now once it's mended and put back together, you want to maintain. So it's going to cost you in your time to maintain, and this is a program that will help you maintain what it's going to take for you to be an amazing man and make any woman want you.